let me ask this question. Let me start out with this question. What does it mean for you and I to live a full life? I mean, isn't that what all of us want? We want a full life. We want a life that we feel satisfied, a life that we can come to the end of it and we can feel peace. Our life found meaning. There's a thousand ways that different people answer what is a full life. What is a complete satisfied life? Some people would say that your life is satisfied if your life is full of experiences. And so we pursue travel and adventure, and we have the bucket list. We're going to check everything off, and we're like, man, if I get it all done, then my life is satisfied. Some people think a full life is all about success, right? It's about promotions and achievements and comfort. And we all have these ideas of what would make a full life. For some people, it's family. For others, it's stability. For some, we're like, man, if I could just have a relationship, man, then I'd be satisfied and life would be complete. Others are like, hey, if I was just happy, just give me happiness and life would be set. And like, it begs the question, since there's a thousand ways for us to answer what is a full life, is that really all it is? Is a full life really getting all that we can out of this world? Is that the goal? You see, there's a story that Jesus told when he was on the earth. He told a story about this rich farmer. And his crops, they grew abundantly. They were really good. And he's like, what am I going to do now? And he's like, I got an idea. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to put all this abundance into my barns. And then I'll be set. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, the story goes that night God came to him. And he said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I mean, that story, this man had everything that we could ever imagine. Everything except what mattered most. That his life ended empty. In fact, it makes me think of a quote. There's a guy by the name of Randy Pausch, who was a computer science professor, right? So really smart guy. And he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so he gave what's called his last lecture. And he's given his last lecture dealing with life. And he talks about all these great things about what you want to be when you were a child and how to achieve those things. And this is a summary for his last lecture as he's facing terminal cancer. He said, we do not beat the reaper by living longer. We beat the reaper by living well. I like that. I like that. It makes me think of, maybe you've read that poem, the Dash poem. A gal wrote this poem about some guy who goes to his friend's grave. He goes to the grave. He sees a headstone. And he looks at the first number on the headstone, and he feels sad. He's like, oh, yeah, that was the day he was born. And then he looks at the second number on the headstone, and he cries a little bit because that's obviously the date of his death. But the whole point of the story is what mattered most was not the first number or the second number. What mattered most was the dash in the middle, right? That's what mattered most. Today, we're going to conclude the story of Abraham, and we're going to see this powerful phrase in our text today, verse 8, where Moses describes Abraham's life as being full of years. I love that term. It's such a powerful term. It does not mean that he lived a long life. It means he lived a satisfied life, a life that was complete, a life that at the end of his life, he was at peace. And that's the question I want us to wrestle with today, is what made Abraham's life complete and full? And how can you and I have the same type of complete, full lives? So again, welcome to Restoration Church. Man, God is writing a beautiful story right here, and I'm so thankful I get to be a part of it. And I want to invite you, be a part of this with us, be a part of what God is doing here at Restoration. We've been in this series called By Faith for 15 weeks, looking at the life of Abraham. And we're going to finish Abraham today. I'll tell you where we're going in the next little bit. We will pick up the next story in Genesis. Isaac, we'll pick that up in the new year. But what I'm excited is here, starting next week, we're going to go into a series that I've wanted to teach on for a while, a series that I think probably has the most tremendous impact on our church, and this idea of friendship. Friendship is great. Friendship is one of God's greatest gifts, but many of us would acknowledge friendship is also maybe one of the greatest struggles that we deal with. So I'm excited the next 7 weeks, starting next week, we're going to be looking at Scripture and how it talks about how we build the kind of friendships that God designed for us. Friendships that bring life, friendships that deepen our faith, friendships that change us, and friendships that become a testimony to the world around us of who Jesus is. So naturally, as we talk about friendships, I'm going to invite you, bring a friend. It would be great. It'll be good. Today, Genesis 25, 1 through 18, we're going to learn how to live a full life and how a full life is not found in our years or in our possessions, but a full life is found in trusting in the faithfulness of God from generation to generation. So, Genesis 25, first point is we're going to see God's faithfulness to his promises. Remember, Abraham was married to his wife, Sarah. Sarah died. He buried her a couple chapters ago. And it picks up in verse 1. It says, Abraham took another wife named Keturah, and she bore him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And then Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim and Letishim and Lemamim. The sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanak and Abida and Elda. Those are great. You know, it's interesting. Abraham is probably like in his 130s, right? And I love this because he's like, this is a great time for me to start a family, right? I mean, we've got six kids that he's going to be, like everybody in the whole house is in diapers, right? Now, let me just say, there are some of you in here today and you're like, man, I'm too old. Abraham wasn't like, this might be a thing. Okay, we won't go there. I thought it was funny. My question is, like, we've talked in the story of Abraham about how his son Isaac was a son of promise. The covenant was going to be through Isaac, right? That's been like the repeated thing again and again and again. So why does Moses, who's the author of the book of Genesis, why does he write and tell us about these six sons that don't matter? And I'll tell you what, this passage is not just about trivia, about Abraham's old age. Moses includes this genealogy for a reason. In fact, when you look at our text today, it's actually a genealogy sandwich. Because verses 1 through 4, you see the genealogy of his six sons that are born to Keturah. And then we're going to see Abraham's obituary. And then after that, verses 12 through 18, you'll see Ishmael's ancestors, his descendants. And you're like, why? Why do we read these two different genealogies in this text? And I think it's because God is showing us something really significant. God is showing us that he keeps his promises. See, in Genesis chapter 13, God had said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Then Genesis 15, he told Abraham, look at the stars. Your ancestors will be like that. And then God reaffirmed that promise again in Genesis 17. Again and again, again and again, this promise is made. You're going to have all these multiple descendants. And now as Abraham's life is drawing to a close, these promises are being fulfilled. God didn't just give him one son. He's given him nations and tribes and generations. I mean, even Ishmael's lines, and Ishmael's ancestors, and Ishmael's family. Ishmael is not the son of covenant. But God promised to bless and multiply Ishmael's line just as he did. And we're seeing that play into effect. And see, we read all these names that we can't even pronounce. But every name on this list is a testimony to God's faithfulness. That when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises. He's good for it. And I think if we're here today and we're like, hey, what does this mean for me? Like, listen, if God is faithful to his promises, like, let me ask you, like, where have you stopped believing God? Where have you stopped believing that God was capable or that God was going to show up? Where have you grown tired of waiting? Or maybe where have you assumed, oh, my story's over, this can't be fixed or redeemed? Because even in Abraham's old age, God is still keeping his promises. He is still writing the stories, even when we think he's done. So maybe you feel like your life is winding down. Maybe you are weary from the waiting on God to fulfill his promises. But I hope this story helps you to take hope that God finishes what he started. He's faithful to his promises he's made to us. So number one, God is faithful to his promises to Abraham. But secondly, number two, we're going to see that Abraham is faithful to God's promises. Here's what it says in verse 5. It says, Abraham gave all that he had to his son Isaac, but to his sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts, and while he was still living, he sent them away from Isaac toward the east country. Right? So here's what happened. Abraham takes his son Isaac, and he's like, I'm going to give you everything. You get all the inheritance. And then he takes his other sons, he gives them some gifts, and sends them off and says, you guys get out of the country. You go someplace else. You go to the east. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like good parenting. Like, I've read some parenting books. Like, this is a story of Cinderella and the wicked stepmother. It doesn't end well. You can't play favorites. But that's not what's happening here. This isn't about favoritism. This is about faith. See, as Abraham is giving his estate to Isaac, sending the sons away, what he is doing, he is aligning his life after what God said. I mean, God had been clear. Again, we've talked about this. God was clear time and time and time again that the promise, the covenant, would come through Isaac. Not Ishmael, not these other sons. It would come through Isaac. And so in giving everything to Isaac, this act is an act of faith. He's acting in faith. He is showing, I trust God's plan is better than my own. And I believe what God is saying. You know, we've seen how Abraham, like, he's learned some lessons of trying to do things on his own wisdom, right? Like, we've seen Abraham, like, learn some hard lessons about trying to take shortcuts, about his stubborn will trying to force God to do what he thought he should do. We've seen how Abraham, when he tried to take matters into his own hands to accomplish God's will in his own strength, he created a mess. That's the story of Hagar and Ishmael. It didn't end well. It created conflict. But now, Abraham, at the end of his life, his faith has matured. He's not scheming. He's not striving. He's not second-guessing. He is simply at peace with what God has said to him. He's at peace with God's word. He's saying, God, I trust you. God, I believe you know what you're doing. It may not make sense to me, but I trust you. Abraham was faithful to God's word. So let me ask you this. Where is God calling you to trust him by aligning your life to his word? Right? Where is God calling you to trust him even when it's not clear? Even when it's costly? Even when it's difficult? Even when it's hard? Where is God calling you to align your life towards him? Because faith isn't just believing in God's word and his promises. It's actually us being faithful to those promises, even when they don't make sense. So what is it for you? Maybe God is asking you to stay rather than run. Maybe God is asking you to forgive rather than fight. Maybe God's asking you to obey even if it feels hard. Because that's what Abraham is modeling for us. Faith is more than what you believe. Faith is trust in motion, acting on what we believe. Well, that's what Abraham's doing. And number three, we're going to see the fullness of Abraham's life. Verse 7, it says, these are the days of Abraham's life, 175 years old. That's a lot of years. It's going to say that the Isaac and Ishmael, the estranged brothers, they come back together to bury Abraham in the cave that he had bought to bury his wife Sarah in. Verse 11 is going to say that God is going to continue to bless Isaac, which is where we're going to go in the new year. We'll see how God, over the next 10 chapters, blesses Isaac. But listen to verse 8. This is kind of the epitaph, the obituary. It says, Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. You hear that phrase, full of years? I love it. It is so powerful. It is such a beautiful phrase right there. It's not describing the length of his life. That describes the depth of his life. Abraham's life was full, not because he lived a long time, not because he was wealthy, not because he had good health, not because his life was easy. No, his life was full because he walked with the one who was his everything that he ever needed. He didn't have a perfect life. What did he have? He had a faithful one, faithfully walking with God. And I think it's so significant that we grasp this, because here we are today, we're wrestling with this idea, like, God, how do I live a full life? God, how do I come to the end of my life and be like, okay, I'm satisfied, I'm content, I've done what I was supposed to do? How do we have a complete and full life? How do we have the right legacy? Again, this is where I love the story of Abraham, because he's not just an example for us of what it looks like to live by faith. He's an example of what it looks like for us to die full of years, to complete our life, to be content with what God has given us. So, what made Abraham's life full? I'm glad you asked, because Scripture is going to answer that for us. Number one, what made Abraham's life full was that he was a friend of God. James chapter 2 actually calls one of three places in Scripture that Scripture calls Abraham a friend of God. And I think, like, if I'm thinking about Abraham, like, all the titles we could give to Abraham, you know, Father Abraham had many sons, right? He's the patriarch. He's a hero of the faith. Like, all these things we could call Abraham. And Scripture chooses to call him a friend of God. Do you realize, like, that is what makes life rich? Not our wealth, not our experiences, not our success. It's a relationship. That Abraham walked with God. He talked with God. He trusted God. At the end, this is what his life was all about who he walked with. And the same thing is true for us. Like ultimately, what it comes down to our life is who have we walked with? Have we walked with God? Would we be described as being a friend of God? Or an acquaintance of God? Or a follower? Would we be described as Abraham was, a friend of God who walked with him, talked with him, and trusted him? Begs the question, are we walking with the right people? Secondly, Abraham's life was full because he had saving faith. Again, this is where we're going to look at some New Testament scriptures that give insight to all these things that made Abraham's life full. Romans 4 is an amazing chapter. It is an amazing chapter. But Romans 4, verse 3 actually quotes from the book of Genesis, and it says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Okay, so what this means is that Abraham was right before God. He had right standing with God, not because of his works, not because of his religious observation, not because he was faithful, not because he made sacrifices to God. He was saved because of his faith, because he trusted God would do what he promised. And do you realize it's the same thing for us? The only way that we will experience peace and righteousness from God is by us putting our faith in Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. I mean, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of every one of these promises that God made. And so Abraham's life was full because he had this saving faith and belief in what Jesus was going to do. Number three, Abraham's life was full because his works matched his faith. Again, James chapter 2, several verses 20 through 23, it says that his faith was made complete by his actions, shown by his willingness to offer Isaac in obedience, which means that his actions proved his faith. I mean, this is what it said. Like, we can all claim we believe in something. We can all claim we believe and have faith in it. But until we're willing to act on it, who cares, right? I mean, I've heard it this way, like faith and works go hand in hand like this, right? Faith and works create this beautiful music. So faith would be like the sheet music, right? You get it from Jaylene. Jaylene gives you the sheet music, and there's like chords on there, and there's words, and there's little letters, and like a pound sign, and all those things that all those musical people understand, right? Like, it's a sheet music. But faith, and that's faith, but action is when you pick up the instrument and start playing it. And you pick that instrument, you start playing what that faith believes, and all of a sudden you have this beautiful melody, this beautiful thing that comes from faith and work going hand in hand. And this is what Abraham lived his life. His actions matched his faith. In fact, A.W. Tozer said, faith is not a conclusion you reach, but faith is a road that you walk. And I love that. I love that. Number four, Abraham's life was full because he was faithful over time. Hebrews chapter 11, we know, is the great hall of faith chapter, right? All the heroes of the faith and all their examples. And Hebrews 11 highlights Abraham's faithful perseverance. How Abraham left his homeland, was willing to trust God, even when there was a long delay, even when there was doubt, even when there was, God, I don't see how you're going to do this. I don't see how you're going to accomplish your promises. Abraham was faithful over that time. His faith wasn't perfect, which I'm thankful for. Anybody have perfect faith? No, God calls us to progress, not perfection. But there was this pattern of perseverance. I love the way that it's described as a long obedience in the same direction. God, you're calling me this way, and I'm going to have a long obedience just walking after you and pursuing you. And lastly, number five, Abraham's life was full because his life pointed to Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 says that those who have faith in Jesus are actually, we become the children of Abraham. And through him, all the nations are blessed. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise that God had given to Abraham. The truest fullness of Abraham's life was not what he saw. It was what God did through him. That through Abraham's faith, the door opened that Jesus could come into the world as the true promise, the true son, to die on the cross for our sins so we could be made right with God. And through Jesus, we share the same blessing that God had with Abraham. We share in the same relationship. We share in the same fullness because Abraham was faithful to this promise. And you see, like again, we talk about Abraham's full life. Do you see the secret here? A full life isn't the length of years. It isn't how much you own. It isn't the experiences you go on. It isn't having the right people around you. No, the full life, a full life in God's eyes. Where am I here? There it is. A full life is having a faith and belief in God and walking with God and living for others, pointing them to him. That's what Abraham did. It wasn't anything crazy. It was simply, I'm going to walk with God over a long period of time. And I'm going to point people to him. And this is a summary for this message. This is a summary, I think, for this passage. It said a full life is not how long you live or what you have. A full life is simply faithfully walking after God. That's what a full life is all about. So let me ask you, like, what would it look like for your life to be full in God's eyes? I'm not talking about a longer life. I'm talking about a deeper life, a richer life, a truer life, a life of faith, a life of friendship with God, a life of obedience. Because Abraham is going to come to the end of his days, and he's satisfied. Not because everything went his way, but because he walked with the one who held his life. It wasn't about years. It wasn't about possessions. It wasn't about happiness. It wasn't about what he could build and what he could collect and what he could achieve. No, it was all about walking with God, knowing him and trusting him, believing in his promises and living like he actually believed in those promises, even when we couldn't see it. You know what the good news is? It's the same God who proved himself faithful to Abraham is the same God who will prove himself faithful to you and I today. So I don't know what it is for you. Maybe today, you're realizing that somewhere along the way, you started chasing fullness in all the wrong places. You look and you're like, man, I've thought fullness was building bigger barns. It was having more success. It was more comfort. It was me trying to control things. It was me seeking recognition. I think if you could ask anybody who spent their life pursuing those things, they'd come to the end of their life and they're like, it's empty. It's vain. It never satisfies. There's always more. And I imagine some people are like, sure, I believe in God. But how many of us live as if it's all up to us? Oh, I believe God. I believe you're good. I believe you're, but I'm going to live like I have to accomplish it on my own. Or maybe for you, maybe you've been waiting on God to come through. And you're waiting, waiting, waiting. And you're starting to wonder, is it ever going to happen? God, where are you? Don't you see? Don't you care? Listen, Abraham reminds us that fullness comes not with what we hold in our hands. It comes from who we walk with. And that same God who walked with Abraham through deserts, through doubts, promises and pain, through years of waiting, that same God who was faithful to Abraham is faithful to walk with you. And that's the invitation that Jesus brings to us today. It's wide open. Come to me. Jesus says, I'm the true son of promise. I'm the fulfillment of all your heart longs for. I'm the one who brings you friendship with God. And you don't have to earn that friendship. It comes simply by receiving him by faith. Maybe for someone here today, maybe that's your step today. Maybe to trust him and put your faith in him, maybe for the first time. Maybe there's some of us in this room that need to maybe some realign some things in our life. We need to reorganize our life around his promises. That we would stop trying to run ahead of him. That we'd stop trying to write our own script. That we would stop being dissatisfied of the things that God has done according to his plans and not our plans. Simply would choose to walk close to him again, trusting in his plans. Because I know this, like, Abraham lived 175 years. Seems like there's been a couple of people around me in the last couple of months who have passed away. And I tell you all, we have no guarantee of what tomorrow holds. Life is short and gone in a moment. And that's the question for us, is how do we come to that point knowing we've had a full life? Not full of stuff. Not full of striving, full of faith, full of peace, full of Jesus. Abraham's story is about a man who wandered most of his lifetime. Abraham wandered from his homeland to the promised land. He lived in tents, in deserts. Yet he always trusted God, even though he couldn't always see how things were going to play out. He couldn't see what God was doing. He couldn't see how God was going to accomplish his plans. But what strikes me is Abraham lived this full life, yet he never really arrived in this world, right? He didn't get to see everything that God had promised. He didn't get to see the Savior come. He didn't get to see the nations that would be blessed through his family. Yet he still died full. Because he knew the one that he was walking toward. In fact, reminds me of a story that Jim Elliot once shared. Jim Elliot was a missionary in South America who lost his life many years ago. And he tells a story about this old missionary couple who had been in Africa, serving God in Africa for decades. And after decades, it was finally time for them to retire. They boarded a ship headed for New York, ready to go home. They were tired. They were worn out, just ready to be done. On that same ship happened to be President Teddy Roosevelt, who just was returning from a big game hunting expedition. And as the ship pulled into the harbor, you can imagine the president returning. There was a huge crowd waiting. There's people waving flags. Oh, we're so excited to see you. There was a band playing. All the reporters were clamoring. Oh, we got to get an interview. And the old missionary looks over to his wife and he's like, it doesn't seem fair. After all these years serving the Lord, nobody is here to welcome us home. His wife touched his arm and said, dear, we're not home yet. And that's the moment when it all comes into focus, right? Abraham understood that. Home isn't. Home is with God. That his fullness came, his comfort, his recognition came from walking faithfully with the one who promised more than this world could ever offer. Listen, that's the invitation that God offers to us today. Not that life is going to come easy. Not that we're always going to be applauded. Not that we're always going to have good health and happiness. But that we can have a full life, full of faith, full of hope, and full of him. Because one day, we're going to reach the end of this journey. We're going to take our final breath. And if we walked with him faithfully, we're going to hear the words that really matter. Well done, good and faithful servant.